Go ahead and turn with your Bibles to Romans 15 as we continue on with our series of one anothering. I mentioned in the email, which I didn't send out to this morning. My apologies. Yesterday was quite a busy day around our house, but so I put a little story in there, and I'm a couple of different ways, and I'll tell it the way I know it versus the way I'd put it in the story this morning because I had copied and pasted that. So says one time at Main Street Baptist Church, there was a disheveled man that came in a little bit. So he goes in, he sits down on like the third pew. And at the end of the service, one of the deacons comes over to him, says, "Sir," says, "what's your name? Introduce yourself." And he says, "Well, we here at Main think you might could clean up just a little bit. We'd like to have you back, but you think you might be able to clean up next week?" He said, "Yeah." So the guy comes back next week, another set of clothes on, still smells, still kind of ratty tatty. So the deacon comes up to him again, says, "Sir," says, "go back and pray about this and pray about what kind of clothes you need to wear." So the next week, the guy shows up again. Deacon comes up to him, still rattled. He says, "Sir," says, "this is the third week this has happened." He says, "Last week, did you do that?" And he said, "Yes." He said, I asked Jesus, says, "Jesus, I'm going to Main Street Baptist. Says, what kind of clothes did I wear?" He says, "Well, what kind of answer did you get from God?" Said, did... So acceptance is a widely term that's used in a lot of different ways. And we use acceptance in good terms and in bad terms. We've talked in here many times about the acceptance over the years, especially in relationship to TV programs that is broadcast at prime time. That acceptance has allowed the industry to move in ways we probably would prefer it didn't move in, right? Everybody want to know how much it's changed. Turn around and watch one of the prime times on Friday night and go back and watch a 1960s series of I Love Lucy. Which is probably one of the most advanced risque type shows. The changes in the acceptance that we've done as Christians over the years, and we're all guilty, everyone else is guilty, has caused that industry to change. And it's not just that industry, it's outside the norm. You see a lot today on the LGBTQ, whatever that 33 letters of the alphabet use is, and acceptance is a big thing, accept this. And I come from a corporate environment where acceptance was mandatory if you wanted to keep your job. That's a fact. You may not like it, but it's a fact. And you may not agree with it, but you had to keep your mouth shut. In other words, to keep your job. But now we acceptance today from acceptance inside the Christian world. And I say that loosely, but as I said in the joke a while ago about that, what does the Bible tell us about acceptance? And we're gonna read a few scriptures here in a little while. Cat is his conversation with the Samaritan lady at the well, and we're gonna look at what the common acceptance was of non-Jews at that time, and we're gonna look at kind of what the apostles were saying this happened to this lady. They didn't like it at all, and it's pretty much like, you know, hey, you're a Jew, you're not supposed to be doing this. So as we go through, but I want to read just a real short, real quick, the highlight of translations. There's a wide acceptance in here for use of the word acceptance in the translation. I'm reading from the King James Version, and it translates it as related as received. So Romans 15, verse 7. "Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Everybody agree?
Sweet to the point.
Sweet to the point. Acceptance. Acceptance. You know, and the one thing I've heard on many, many, many sermons, and I've used it in Sunday school lessons, is that of the person. And I think that has a lot to do with this word and this as we're looking at acceptance. Because I paint you a scenario. If a lost person comes and they may be, let's just pick up a few things. A guy with long hair, tattoo sleeves on both arms, wearing a t-shirt that may not be considered appropriate. That person really accepted? Let's be honest.
No, not usually.
Is that
what expression? Should we make them say things to make them feel any good?
Oh, so let me ask you this. So if you're looking at this person, and it could be female or male, you pick your choice. You can pick the clothes. You can pick the outside the Christian world. You know, that may not be a popular phrase, but it's true. Okay. And that person is not accepted. Why is that person not accepted? Why? Why would you not accept that person?
Because you think of them not being a holy person.
Or you think of them as being something they shouldn't be.
Yeah. In order to bring praise to God, it says, "Accept one another just as Christ accepted you." And so there's goes back to there's all levels and there's all sorts of transgressions. And so, are you saying those are worse than that?
Exactly. So now let me ask you another question. Oh, I love questions. Y'all know I like questions. These questions as I was working on this lesson. All right. If you could rewind back to the day before you were saved, were you Christ-like? Have you had days since then that you were not Christ-like? Yeah. Are you still accepted by Christ on both days?
Yeah. Well, Jesus didn't accept you until you changed.
Didn't accept you. But he's got to accept you as you are in order to save you. Now,
yeah, but you got to have a change, and you've got to change things.
And because you got tattoos and you got long hair or whatever.
He's not looking at all
that. Absolutely, absolutely.
He looks at your heart. We look at you to judge, or because he's unbelievers like my daughter.
We should have our little thing here.
We shouldn't judge, and
let's see, you love them, and you pray for them,
and you pray for them,
and that's what you should do.
Because there's some days. No offense, I want to get my daughter's tongue out and slap her.
But
it's a Bill Cosby situation, isn't it?
But it's not up to us to judge them or put them down or make them feel like they're any less than we are, right?
That's true.
Well, they already, every sinner feels that way.
Yes, because I was there too.
Well, some days you may not like somebody, but you still love them.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, yeah.
Well, you know, God disciplines their children, and you can't have discipline without having a judgment. I'm judging your behavior as inappropriate. You know? So the fact that discipline is called for, that God himself is disciplined, God's going to be our judge, you know, but so not judge, you know, but it's what you're asking me to have no discernment. You're asking me to not have an opinion on anything. Of course not.
Right.
It's just that we're not supposed to judge hypocritically. We're not supposed to. You know, and that is trying to holistically look at the whole situation and not just, just basically not judge it, but clearly.
You know, right.
Holding somebody to a standard of our own creation. I remember when I was in Charlotte many years ago, this is back when I was in seminary, actually. And so you had people from all over the country. You had people from places from Europe and Singapore as well. And I remember this one guy walking around, young guy, spiked hair, you know, like you said, the tattoos. And I was other people react to him, you know, when he'd walk into the room, because maybe somebody was watching me about how I react, you know, but I sit there and I'd watch how people react. And I also watch the faculty. Well, the faculty knew this guy. So, I mean, so they didn't react at all, you know, and he'd be interactive, and, you know, the faculty just interacted with him so long. And I thought, let's see, there you go. You know, this guy, who knows what his motive is. Is he trying to push people's buttons in the ministry that look gives him segue into?
And I'd be willing to bet that every one of you guys again had long hair at some point too. What did a lot of people think about that?
They actually told me at one point, and when I was in high school, he said, "You better get that hair cut before you get to high school, because you'll never get a job cut with that hair that long."
And there were some people.
My shoulders.
Who didn't
hire you. How do you get my hair? Tattoos. I mean, I don't know how many people here know. Bobby's last name is Bobby and Megan. Actual Ministries.
Yeah.
Bobby got hair down to his shoulder. Tattoos.
That's more good than anybody.
All people can relate.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because I mean, just like the long hair when we were in school and the short dresses and all that. I see that today, and it doesn't offend me.
Yeah.
Cody sees it, and she says, "Hair, you know, Roger had long hair." She hated his hair, and I mean, it's just so funny how we grew up with it, so we didn't see anything wrong with it.
So going off what was just said right here, because I can't have anything right on. I want you to paint a picture that everybody in this room has a sign around their neck, and on this sign it talks about things: bad driver, bad this. Got an earring, got, you know, that. Now then, and let's be honest now, people look at stuff like this. Let's leave this, all right? Now then, what's on your sign on the backside that you wrote on about you?
Your sign on the backside that you don't want people to see.
Or what you are and what it is. All right, so let's
that's
just
scary on both sides.
It is scary on both sides. We're going to come back to that here just in a minute. All right. So if you look at the Greek word that's used to translate here of acceptance, it's translated different ways in different Bibles and elsewhere in the It's accept. It's translated welcome. One time it's phrased as to receive kindly or to receive hospitably. And then its translation is CS. I think it's CSB. It says to treat with kindness. To treat with kindness. Now, if again, let's go back to the Main Street Baptist Church, and this person walks in and is unsaved. When they walk in that door, they're treated with acceptance, with kindness, with hospitality. Do you think that makes it to them?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely it does. Do you think if you didn't quite do that, would you even know any different? Would you know that you didn't do that? So do we, my point is, do we consciously think about this as we're doing it? And yes, we do. We consciously think about the one side, but we don't consciously think as much about to the other. Can mean welcoming someone that may be different from you, right? That we talk. One guy wrote, and he says, I don't think God's command to accept or welcome others means to tolerate, but it means extending the holiest sense of grace to them. Big difference in tolerate and accept. Yeah, and that Greek word never is translated as tolerate, by the way. It's only... The Greek word that's translated here is acceptance or welcoming is never translated in the word tolerate. It never is translated that way. It doesn't mean that at all.
See, that's one of the problems with today. The word's been
different. It's the phrase, just as Christ accepted you. So that's our standard, and that's how it is. So how did Christ do that? Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we were ever born, Christ died for us. Those that's not born yet, Christ died for them.
You ever think, would he do it again?
Well, what he
had all to do over again.
See,
because it's God's creation.
Yeah.
That was God's plan.
I'd say yes.
You know, we got to wonder about it.
And one guy wrote this. And he says, don't you love the way Jesus loved and served those who were untouchable or unlovable? Only one person Jesus and left unchanged or unaffected. Only one. Only one. I'm sorry.
Who did you say?
The rich man. I want to go back to what Eddie was saying earlier about changing. All right. And this another quote right here. This guy said, by his loving acceptance, he was able to make a distinction between who people are, what they've done, or what they have allowed themselves to become, the objects of his love. So, you know. And one guy, I was watching a YouTube video this morning about this, and the guy was talking about, he said, and he was actually talking about when people that go through really low times, says lots of times at that low times when God does something super, super special, you know, so, and he was using some different analogies to it. But he was talking, God really does something spectacular in your life and can make a big difference. Isn't that true, though, about the majority of us when we were saved? I mean, you know, with exceptions, but is it, don't you see people that's really just about to the bottom of the barrel and they, you know, they have no way to turn in their mind except to God. They have no other option in their mind.
Yeah, that's true, but it's hard for people. I mean, whenever we see people at their lowest, and so many times, I mean, it's kind of discouraging sometimes because lots of times people think that salvation is going to give them a miracle or whatever. Things are going to turn on. And that's the hard part for me, especially to say is your situation may not change today around you, but inside you. And what's the hardest part for me is to let, you know, people like, you know, I talked to you a month ago or I saw you 3 weeks ago and I'm still living here and I'm still a bit, you know, and that's the hard
part. But you know,
it's just the magical thinking. If I say the incantation.
I have to say that most times, well, we had a girl here that was here about a month or two ago who led to Christ, and her situation was getting, in fact, it got so much better, they moved out. They're gone. They got a house, and they're gone. But she did tell me in one of our most recent conversations that her whole inner being was so much better since she had finally come to admit she needed Christ.
I'm gonna come back to that after I read this statement right here because I got a point I want to make. Crabb, in his book Connecting, wrote that we experience God's power to heal souls through compassionate, authentic relationship with others. He says, whatever passion of acceptance, a passion that flows out of the center of the gospel, a passion that fills the heart with God. Now, so have you ever been in a situation, whether it's a place you went or something like that, you didn't feel accepted? Now, I'm not talking about not fitting in versus not being accepted, right? So if you have that feeling, one of the things I think is in the evangelistic efforts is you have to make sure you today the way you are. But with this acceptance comes a responsibility to change, right? Everybody agree with that? But we got to make sure that discussion you have with a lost person is that you can be accepted. You know, Paul says that the past is gone, right?
And it's so hard for people to accept
that. Yeah.
Understand that.
And he goes on the right, he says, when love and acceptance and forgiveness becomes a center of love and a force of God designated for the healing of broken people, right? People are fragmented, torn, and for so many people, life isn't worth it to them because they're living without Jesus, without God, and acceptance in fellowship of Jesus' people. They receive love and acceptance and can be healed and transformed. The church is not supposed to be a museum of saints, but a hospital for sinners. I thought that was a really good quote. One more quote. Brendan Manning, in his book, Rag for the Super Spiritual, but for the Wobbly and Weak-Kneed, who know they don't have it all together, and who are not too proud to accept the handout of amazing grace. Something is radically wrong when the local church will not accept that it consists of sinful men and women and exists for them, implicitly rejects the gospel of grace. A lot of truth in that, right?
I'll put myself out there for a second.
Yeah.
So I thought when I first started coming to church here, you know, I was struggling when I first came. I think I thought I had it. I think I thought I was getting it together. But a lot of things took place. And then when Ellie died, that's when I fell apart. Because I think I thought I had it. And I thought I was getting it together. You know, but all in all, when it was so hard. But when I went away and I took that time and I came back, then I started getting it. Now today, I've got it together. And now I know I'm not so much more than I was almost 4 years ago, you know, because October 26th will be 4 years. And that's the first 4 years I can say. All those years in here, I didn't have it together. Not at all. I didn't get it together until after. And I had to fall in front of all y'all.
That's a good testimony, though. That's a good testimony on that.
It's okay. You know, I walk stronger today. And a lot of y'all really helped me walk stronger today.
Great testimony.
You'll never know who that is.
I'm grateful. Yeah. Very grateful.
Yeah. So let's look at the application. Oh man. All right. So let's look at the application side of this. There's whom we are to be accepting, and what is it that makes it difficult for us to accept the one another's? Remember what I told you when we first started this. The very first lesson I did was that loving one another. That first lesson. This is one of the strong pillars to build that loving one another. You can't love them unless you accept them. Impossible. I don't care what you say, it's impossible. All right. And that doesn't mean you can love somebody. And I'm talking about loving the person, not the sins that person may or are committing. Okay. Because we all do it and there's no scale. I looked all through the Bible. I can't have a drink. There's not a scale for running too fast in a car. It's all still sins, you know, no scales. Don't think there's scales in there. You can't rate them. All right. But you have to be able to be acceptance in order to love the person.
It's tough. That, right?
You just said.
Yeah, you're talking about sin. You said level of sin. You said running too fast in a car. And I said, that's so sin.
And I said, oh, Renee says, well, don't you know he's in the car with you too?
You'll have to get Marty to tell you the story, like a school zone or whatever. And Deborah was on to him because he was driving too slow. And he says, well, I never got a ticket for driving too slow. The next week she was driving, went through the same one, she got a ticket. So Fred Craddock, who's actually a teacher at Emory University, said he went to a conference up in Canada and said he was supposed to speak that morning. So it snowed like 2.5 feet that night. So he got a call from one of the people at church, says, hey, you know, the service has been canceled today. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? Y'all supposed to come pick me up, go around. So he gets up and he treads through the snow, goes over there, and he says, it was just packed and people all in there. And everybody was all shoulder to shoulder on these bar stools and chairs and benches and all this in this little diner. And this comes in, walks in, and she sits down at one of the places somebody just got up from. And said, the guy, you know, the male's diner kind of guy, bald-headed guy, comes walking over there and says, what do you want? And she said, I have a glass. He said, all I want is a glass of water and to sit here for a few minutes and warm up. He said, if you can't eat, you got to go. If you're not eating, you got to go. So she said, okay. She stood up and started walking the door. And says, as she walked to the door, said, one of the guys sitting there watching, he got up and walked to the door. And said, within just a matter of seconds, the whole diner had walked out from that diner that day. I thought, okay, you accept the people with the money, but you don't accept the people without money. So he turns around, the guy runs out, and he apologizes to everybody, and they come back in, and he goes and gets the lady and brings her back. And he offered, seconds after the meal came through, a bunch of people want to come up and pay for a meal. And he said the acceptance sometimes is prompted by things. But because and his point was, the lady wasn't accepted by the people after she was unaccepted by somebody else. So sometimes we get, and the point is sometimes we get in situations that prompt us to be before, all right? One way or the other, that it can be, I guess it can work or it not work, all right? Sorry. So as we go on, I want to look real quick about what I mentioned about the Jesus and the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. So y'all remember the story? Go. How many husbands did she have?
Five.
Yeah. Five.
And she was living with the guy, then she wasn't married to
him. Exactly. Jesus told her that, right?
Yeah.
So the disciples come along and see him talking to this lady. What's their reaction?
What are you doing? She's
tainted. Jesus. Tainted. So tainted. It's a good word, isn't it? So here's the lady that was talking to the Savior of the world. So Jesus is pretty much ministering whatever word you want to use to this lady, right? And the disciples like, nah, you know, she's Samaritan. She's not good. She's a sinner. And what did Jesus do? Pretty much set them straight, didn't he? Pretty much set them straight. So that kind of rewinds us back to my original, you know, question about accepting people and accepting people the way they are, without prejudice or being judgmental. It doesn't matter who they are, where they're from, or what they've done. It shouldn't matter to us where a person is rich or poor or educated or uneducated. It shouldn't matter the color of their skin, their country, their culture, nothing wise, handicapped or not, tattooed, covered, pierced, you name it. It shouldn't matter to us if someone has been in trouble with the law, if they've been in prison, if they're struggling with addiction. Everyone, that's how he wants us to be. But what about those who think differently than we think? But Paul wrote that, you know, because the church at Rome was having a lot of divisions on it, and that's where all this came from, and it goes through. Paul addressed the groups as strong and weak. The weak were those whose conscience would not allow them to eat meat sold at the market, conscience-wise, right? Because much of that meat had been used in idol worship, all right? So the ones who Paul called strong believed that they could eat any meat, even meat that had been sacrificed to idols, because the idols were not real and the meat was just meat. You see the difference in the two? And it really is the weaker, the weaker, right? So in other words, you know, here they're doing this because they think this is good. I don't have a problem with accepting this. So is your faith good enough to accept somebody when they have these tags that read what you read on it? Because I tell you what, if you turn it over and read yours, would they accept you? Would they accept you? Now, could your tag say, I didn't help somebody when I had the opportunity? Could the tag say, I didn't help anybody? Would your tag say that? Mine would.
Yeah.
So would that person accept you? Would that person read that tag and say, I was hypocritical, that person, because they came in and they wore tennis shoes to church? Would they accept you? Is it any different? Something to think about, right? Paul's prescription had the following. First of all, stop judging. Accept him who his faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but the man who eats everything must not look down on those who do not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Second thing in Paul's prescription, I think that.
Essential sanity and non-essential liberty.
Yes. Yeah. Disputable matter and an honest difference of opinion between Christians is how best to apply the biblical principle, right? Third, Paul's prescription to do what has been never to be a stumbling block or a pitfall in the way of your brother or your sister. Romans 15:1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good and to build him up. So last thing, interesting the way these are turned out, because as I work on these lessons, you know, my sign was kind of long. And, you know, I think we all, you know, we may have to use both sides of the paper as we write this down. But, you know, I thought this one was a really good one, because it hits each of us. If it's not today, it has in the past at some point. And I would encourage you, is to work on that, because it's so easy. It's and I'm as guilty as anybody in this room. And you know,
this is something we gotta work on daily.
Every day, every single day, every single day. Guys was talking about, have y'all ever had, it shows up, if you ever watched TV, like I had the Georgia game on this year and I didn't like one of the announcers on there and I was going to listen to it on the radio quicker than what the TV was. And y'all know why that is, you know, because they can bleep out things. And I was thinking about that today and I thought, if you could say your words and then listen to it go. Seriously, I'm serious. I mean, you know, I'm the world's worst to out something out real quick. So as we go through, try to have that little 5 second delay this week as you do that. Thoughts, comments?
I have a question. Talking about exception. Why does the